As a very good morning to you all. Well, 2020 has certainly been a year of challenges, hasn't it? Challenges to our daily living, challenges in terms, for some of us, in terms of employment, challenges in terms of our basic well-being and how we go about our normal business. And it's also true, I feel, that when we do our daily Bible readings each day, we're also presented with challenges by the things which we're reading. Because the words of Scripture are, of course, not just an account of things which happen, but they're living words, aren't they? They're words which we can consider as being our handbook for life, for those of us who have put on the saving name of the Lord Jesus. It's the writer to the Hebrews who, in well-known words, describes the word of God as quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it's not surprising, therefore, that the Scriptures do present us with various challenges in our lives. And those challenges, brethren and sisters, come in many different ways, don't they? As we read, we might on occasions be, in fact quite regularly, be challenged in our understanding of the things that we're reading in the words of Scripture, because some of the words of Scripture are not easily understood, are they? And even the Apostle Peter referred to some of the words of Paul as being hard to understand. And so when we do our daily Bible readings, it's important that we continue to make an effort to understand the things that we're reading. And especially when we come to things that initially aren't clear as to what they mean. And we should always be asking questions about where the chapter that we've read fits into the broader context of the book or the wider context of the Scriptures as a whole. And also to think about things such as who's writing the words that we're reading and who were they initially written to and why were the words written? And answers to those questions are often very important in getting the most out of the verses that we're reading. And so it is that we should always be reading with inquiring minds. And sometimes we can find it helpful, of course, to make reference to a commentary of some sort to help us in our appreciation of the things that we've read. And that brings us then to another challenge that we see in Scripture. It's the challenge of our belief and of our faith, because some of the things which we read really can be a challenge for us to accept on occasions, especially in the context of a world which in general is dismissive of the God of heaven. So when we read a verse such as in Genesis 1, when we're told that God made the stars also, that might present us with a challenge to our belief, because the universe is so massive, isn't it? I'm told that the nearest star is some 25 trillion or 25,000 million miles away. So the nearest star is 300,000 times further away than the Earth is from the sun. God's power is so vast that it can sometimes be hard for us to fully appreciate and to understand. Some things are almost outside the scope of what we as mere human beings can comprehend. And yet, you know, if we struggle with big things, and I think I'm somebody who does struggle with the bigger picture of things, then we only need to look at some small things very closely. Something like an insect, or the detail in a flower, or the beauty of a bird, and we're presented with ample evidence of a created world, of something which was brought about through God's command and is surely evidence for us of God's design. And personally, I find it much easier to look at small things and to comprehend the marvel of small things rather than something like the universe. But I guess we're all different, aren't we? But the whole of the created world speaks to us of God's power. Well, along with our belief comes our faith. And the Scriptures challenge us in terms of our faith as well, don't they, brethren and sisters? It was the Lord Jesus who told his disciples that if they had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, then they could move mountains. Well, our faith, of course, is based on our hope for the future, isn't it? Our faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. It's based on the return of the Lord Jesus and the establishment of the kingdom. It's based on the understanding that through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus, then our sins can truly be forgiven. And that having come into covenant relationship with our Father in heaven, and the promise of eternal life is a real hope. And that excites us, doesn't it? And it should motivate us in living out our lives in the truth. So that's the challenge of our faith. And that brings us then to a further challenge presented to us as we read the word. It's the challenge of our discipleship. Because as we read the word of life, the challenge of living in accordance with the will of our Heavenly Father is set out there before us, isn't it? We're being guided in the way of life that we should each be leading. And we're provided with lots of examples of faithful men and women who gave of their best in lives which were pleasing and acceptable before God. And we're privileged to have set out before us as well, and perhaps most importantly of all, the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus, who in every way was pleasing before the Lord, before his Father in heaven. And it was the Lord Jesus, wasn't it, who set out for us the way, the truth and the life which we should each be following as servants of the Lord Jesus. The way that we should be living, the truth of the things which we believe and which we hold dear to, and the promise of life, life to come, which is the hope of each one of us in God's kingdom. So those then are just a few of the challenges which we face as servants of the Lord Jesus. The challenge of understanding, the challenge of belief and faith, and the challenge of discipleship. Now, that of course is an oversimplification of things, isn't it? But it is important that we accept that the scriptures do present us with challenges. And what's critically important is how we as individuals then respond to those challenges in our daily lives. Sometimes we'll do well. Sometimes we'll read the word and we'll have a good understanding of the things that we're reading, and our minds will be open to what we're being told, and our belief will be strong and our faith will be buoyed up, and our discipleship will then reflect that. But other times we may feel very differently. We might be very aware of our individual failings. We might be struggling with our faith, and there might be elements of doubt in our minds. And sometimes even reading the words of scripture might become difficult and challenging in itself. And what doesn't help is the challenging times in which we live. Living in an increasingly godless world makes meeting those challenges sometimes more difficult. Our faith is constantly being undermined, isn't it? And challenged by the things that we read or hear. And we can be influenced as well, if we're not very careful, by the lives of those around us, by the changed moral standards of the society in which we live, and by the pressures which are placed upon us to conform to the standards of the world, rather than meeting that challenge which is set out before us of being transformed by the renewing of our minds, as the Apostle Paul tells us, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And surely that's the real challenge for us all, isn't it, brethren and sisters? That of conforming to what God is looking for, rather than conforming to what society around us expects of us. And added to all of that then, finally, are the challenges which we each face in life on a more personal basis. The challenges of relationships, which at times can be very difficult. The challenges of family life. The challenges of illness, which we might need to face. The challenge of depression. The challenge of employment. The list actually is almost endless, isn't it? All things which can cause us, any one of us, to question our understanding, our belief, and our faith, and make our discipleship that much more difficult. And whatever our situation or our circumstances, it's so important, therefore, that we spend time focusing on the scriptures that have been given to us and what they tell us. Because by focusing in our lives on the great and precious promise of life to come in the kingdom age. That's the important thing, isn't it? Because then the challenges that are presented to us day by day will become that little bit easier. All the things of this life will fit more into perspective. They'll become less important, and our faith will become stronger, and we shall grow in our understanding and in our discipleship. If it is that we keep firmly fixed before us that vision of the kingdom age and the promise that is given to us of life in that kingdom. Now, it was the psalmist who wrote, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And we do well to follow that, don't we? We do well to make the reading of God's word an important part of every day, and to try to carry with us then an awareness of it and an understanding of the things which we believe in whatever we find ourselves doing each day of our lives. And as we read, we're presented with these examples, aren't we? Men such as Noah, who was mentioned by Peter in the reading this morning, of Abraham, of Hezekiah, of Jeremiah, of Stephen, who we thought about in our study a couple of Saturdays ago, Paul, and of course, the Lord Jesus himself. So many examples which we could consider. And all of them faced significant challenges in their lives. All of them found themselves in situations where their understanding, their belief, their faith, and their discipleship were being challenged. And in our readings at the moment, we're thinking about Job, aren't we, and the challenges which he faced in his faith. He couldn't understand why it was that God was allowing so many things to happen to him. His belief was challenged, and yet he remained faithful. And in time, he came to have a greater understanding and a greater appreciation of the God who he worshipped. And finally, he said to God, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. I have uttered that I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." And so it was that as a result of his sufferings, Job now understood more about the Lord. His eyes had been opened to the power and to the majesty of the God of heaven. And in the New Testament, we've been reading the words of Peter, and as we've read this morning, and Peter now understood his role in bringing the gospel message, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And we think about the events recorded for us back in Acts, when Peter saw that vision of a sheet coming down from heaven, containing all manner of animals and birds and reptiles. And Peter struggled, didn't he, to understand and to comprehend what it was that he was being told by that vision. And he had to apply himself in coming to appreciate what the vision meant and how it would change the course of the work of witness which he'd undertaken. And as we read those examples and many others, it's always helpful to ask ourselves the question, well, if we were faced with similar challenges, how would we have responded? Would we have shown a similar strength of faith? Would we have had the courage to give a good answer of the things which we believe? Would we have had the confidence to place our complete trust in our Father in heaven and the assurance that he would guide us through the challenging situations in which we find ourselves? It's helpful, though, to remember that all of those people, including even the Lord Jesus, expressed doubts and concerns about what was being asked of them in their lives. And with the exception of the Lord Jesus, they all failed in some way. And yet they were all men of faith, men who were totally convinced that God was working in their lives, that he was guiding them, that he was working through them. And most importantly of all, they were men who had a hope, a real hope of better things to come. And it was the hope which was set before them, which kept them strong and helped them to face the challenges of life. And it was Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." So it was Paul's confidence in his hope of resurrection which helped him to stand fast in his faith and to remain steadfast in his commitment to preach the word. And even in the face of adversity, he didn't compromise and he remained fully committed in his faith. He considered his life now as nothing compared with the hope of life to come in the kingdom, because that was where his real hope lay. And he was determined to share that hope with as many as possible, even though it often brought him into conflict with those who failed to appreciate the gospel message. And it was the same, wasn't it, with Peter and John? They were so confident in their understanding of the hope of the gospel that they felt compelled to preach the hope of resurrection at all times. So in Acts chapter 4, for example, we're told that Peter and John found themselves before the Jewish Sanhedrin. And the Jewish leaders commanded Peter and John that they shouldn't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. That was what they required of them. But Peter and John replied, and their reply was immediate. They said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And so it was that Peter and John stood fast in the things that they believed. And they believed that the right thing to do was to continue speaking forth the gospel message. And so we see that in the face of challenges to their discipleship, they remained steadfast in their faith and carried on preaching about the hope of resurrection through the saving work of the Lord Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, to Paul's first letter to the Ecclesia at Corinth. When Paul wrote this first letter, we know that the Ecclesia was facing difficulties and challenges. There were disagreements. There was some disharmony. There were misunderstandings between ecclesial members. And we know that Paul addresses these things in his letter. And as he draws his thoughts to a close, he writes these words in the first letter to Corinthians, chapter 16 and verse 13. He says to them in conclusion, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity or with love." So firstly, they were encouraged to watch. Every member of the ecclesia needed to be alert to the matters which Paul had written about in his letter. And matters needed to be dealt with rather than left to develop into bigger problems and to further corrupt the ecclesia. And then he goes on to say, stand fast in the faith. It was by having a strong foundation in the fundamentals of their faith that would help them to recognize the problems when they arose. Well, all ecclesias face challenges, don't they? Just as individuals face challenges in their lives. But if the foundations of our faith are right, brothers and sisters, and our belief is strong, then we're so much better placed, aren't we, for responding to the challenges which might face us. Then he continues, as we've read there, quit you like men. In other words, be brave. And bravery is all to do with having confidence, isn't it? And confidence in the truth comes from our understanding of the scriptures and having understanding and faith that God is working in our lives. And then he concludes, be strong. Be sure-footed in our belief. And in verse 14, do all of these things in a spirit of love towards each other. Love is such an important element, isn't it, in all aspects of ecclesial life. By working together in a spirit of love, we can resolve ecclesial difficulties more easily. And by showing love to each other, then we can help and encourage and strengthen each other in remaining steadfast in our faith, particularly at times of difficulty. We just go back to chapter 15. We see that Paul makes reference to the fundamentals of faith and how important they are. Chapter 15 and, well, the opening verses. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, essentially, our faith is very simple, isn't it? The hope of the gospel is the good news of salvation. But to achieve salvation, we need to remain faithful. We need to stand firm in the things that we believe, as we've read there. And we do that by holding fast the fundamental elements of our faith, by reading the word, by drawing strength from the bread of life and supporting and encouraging each other in spiritual ways. And Paul emphasized the same things when he wrote to the believers at Philippi. Let's turn to Philippians and chapter 1. And we know when Paul wrote these words that he was under house arrest in Rome. And doubtless with time to think, he would have reflected on his visits to Philippi that he'd made during his missionary journeys. And in his letter to the brothers and sisters there, he encourages them in the face of challenges to their faith to remain strong in what they believe. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. He says, only let your conversation or your citizenship be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. So Paul was encouraging them there to stand fast in one spirit, which of course was the spirit of Christ, wasn't it? And they were to be of one mind, striving together. So standing fast isn't something that we should be doing by ourselves, is it? We should be standing fast together as brethren and sisters, as an ecclesia, as a united brotherhood across the world. And we should expect challenges in our lives because that is part of our discipleship. Then in chapter 3, Paul gives warnings about those who might seek to draw the believers away from the faith. And he writes about his great hope of the return of the Lord Jesus. So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, he continues, my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast. Face with confidence the challenges which life presents to us. Remember the promise which we've each made to serve our Father in heaven. And don't be deterred when life gets tough. Think about our citizenship. Think about the kingdom age. And if we're finding life difficult, if we're finding that our faith is being challenged, we're assured in the words of our Father in heaven that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And then verse 6 of chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So be careful for nothing, he says. Don't be anxious. And continue in prayer. And prayer is such an important part, isn't it, of facing life's challenges. And we're encouraged to make our worries and our concerns known to our Father in heaven. And that should bring peace in our hearts. The peace of knowing that our Father in heaven is with us in our lives. That he's watching over us. And that even the very hairs of our head are all numbered. Surely that must be of help to us all in facing the challenges of life and remaining steadfast in our walk towards the kingdom. Let's go back to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And we want to go to a passage that we're very familiar with, Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 10. And Paul says there, finally, chapter 6 and verse 10, finally he says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he continues in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then Paul goes on to write, as we well know, about standing in the skirt of truth, wearing the breastplate of righteousness, wearing the sandals of the gospel, holding the shield of faith, having on the helmet of salvation, and carrying the sword of the Spirit. And he finishes then in verse 18 with these words. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So again, he emphasizes the importance of prayer. And there's a little phrase in the verses that we've read there. It's mentioned twice with reference to the whole armor of God that we're called to wear. Paul said in verse 11 and verse 13, he talked about putting on the whole armor of God. Now, a soldier who is only partly equipped for battle is vulnerable, isn't he? Going to battle with no sandals or with no sword would surely be asking for trouble. And so it is that we need to be fully equipped. And if through self-examination we find that we're lacking in any of those things, any of those items of armor which a soldier should take into battle, then it's our duty as soldiers of the Lord Jesus to make efforts to gain whatever it is that we're lacking. We have a wonderful hope, don't we, brethren and sisters? And it's that hope that should keep us strong as we continue on our journey towards the kingdom and as we continue to fight the battle which is set before us. We can rejoice that in Christ our sins are forgiven, that they won't be counted against us. And you know, that's exactly what Paul writes to the believers in Galatia. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so it is that in Christ we have the assurance that our sins are forgiven. And although we're still servants, we've become servants of the Lord Jesus, rather than servants to sin and death. And so it should be in our aim in our daily lives to live as good and faithful servants in order that we gain an answer of peace when our Lord returns. Well, for our final reference, let's just turn back again to first letter of Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 15. And Paul is now providing encouragement to the brethren and sisters in Corinth in what we know have proved to be challenging times for them. And he sets out in chapter 15 that wonderful hope of resurrection. We know these verses well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And the chapter then concludes with these words in verse 58, which is really what I'd like us to take with us for our exhortation today. He writes, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So we're encouraged to be steadfast in our faith and to be fully engaged in working for the Lord in our lives. And we remember now the Lord Jesus through the emblems of bread and of wine. And as we think of that example which he provided for each one of us in how we should be living our daily lives, we remember that he above all people was steadfast, that he was unmovable in doing the work of his Father in heaven, and that through that work and through his complete self-sacrifice, each of us is able to look in confidence for his return and for the establishment of the kingdom age. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.